It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Morena, Rachel, I'm good. I'm hoping for a little bit of rain again. Things are still dry, but yeah, it's lovely to have the long summer and the weekends, I've got to say. But in terms of, farmers in particular, we worry about the impact on pasture. Not so much worried about the water supply because we added 100 million litres a day more, and people are still being reasonably conservative in their use of water. So that's good news.
That is good to hear. Now, we've got some big changes to talk about today. Vaccine passes, no longer a thing you're going to need in hospitality or in most businesses with customer-facing sort of roles now. What's that going to look like for council buildings and council facilities?
Yeah, look, the general requirements will flow over into council requirements. So with the lifting at midnight last night, I think it was, of the My Vaccine Pass and the ending of vaccine mandates, except for those, you know, in obvious areas like health and disability, aged care facilities, corrections and border, we will be lifting both of those requirements for customers, for staff and for elected members. And that was announced late yesterday, I think, by council. And that was on the basis of a risk assessment, a survey of a council staff, interestingly, divided opinions there. Majority were happy to see it lifted, but a significant minority would have preferred the mandate to continue.
We know that disability communities are particularly strong on this at the moment. They would like to see this continue and actually also be strengthened to include the booster shot as well. What do you personally believe? Do you think we should be rolling them back now, or would you like to see them continue?
No, look, I'm comfortable about them being rolled back. What I'm not comfortable about is just under 73% of people having got their booster shot. Now, compare that to the 95% that got their first vax. There's an element of complacency that has crept in. We put enormous encouragement and pressure on people to get vaccinated, got world-class standards. But that hasn't occurred in regard to the booster shot. And look, all of the medical evidence is still there that if you've got the booster shot, your chances of hospitalisation are much, much less. You'll still get it. I got it. But, you know, it had the symptoms of a cold rather than something that required me to go to hospital. And partly helping me in that was no doubt the, you know, two vaxes and a booster shot. So I am worried that people have got really complacent about getting their booster shot, and they shouldn't be, and I'd really encourage everybody to go out and get that booster shot.
Just to come back to council facilities and the removal of the vaccine pass and vaccine mandate there, for disability communities in particular, we know that spaces like libraries are really important. They're community hubs, they're centres for connection. How is the council ensuring that those are still safe spaces for people to access without that added layer of the vaccine pass or vaccine mandate there?
Well, there'll still be a requirement, for example, that customers have to wear a mask indoors. That's in line with current government guidance. We're also asking customers to maintain safe distances from others, and there'll be the general encouragement. Look, if you're not feeling well, please stay at home. That's really important. So the common sense things that will help us not only against COVID but against the projected big increase in flu across New Zealand when we open up to Australia and the rest of the world. So those common sense measures are still really important, and you know, all of the hygiene measures that we've learned under COVID, those are habits that we ought to keep up.
Well, let's talk a bit about parking now. This is obviously something that I'm sure many people experience on their day-to-day, you know, commute to work or drive into town or whatever. We're seeing a new parking strategy come through from Auckland Council. Can you just walk us briefly through what those big changes are going to mean?
Yeah, look, I think the most significant and certainly the most controversial is that on our key strategic routes, on the strategic transport network, that makes up about 16% of our roads, there will be instances where, as a matter of common sense, parking will be secondary to the provision of a bus lane or a cycle lane or a T3 lane. Now, that will affect about 3% of our roads, so we're not talking about this, having a huge impact, but it'll be the big roads, the arterials. And I'm sorry, we're at the situation. There will be consultation. We've put out a discussion document. A consultation document is now going out as a result of last week's committee meeting decision. And then there will be consultation in regard to the removal of parking places, but the default position will be if it's between a parking place and having an easy route for a bus to go, mm-hmm. so that public transport becomes more convenient, quicker, more frequent, then it's the latter that's going to prevail. And I support that.
And what's the time frame on this one?
Look, this is not going to happen overnight. No parking places will be removed unless and until, excuse me, we actually need to convert the space is taken up by parking places to a bus lane or a T3 lane or a cycle lane. So, you know, we're talking about rolling the program out probably over about a 10-year period. So I think if you saw Simon Wilson's article, you'll see that there is no need to panic about this. But, you know, do we want to have more people travelling on public transport? Do we need to have more people travelling on public transport for reasons of lowering emissions and lowering congestion? The answer has got to be a huge yes on that, and that's the default position that will occur on those strategic routes.
As you say, there's perhaps no need to panic if you are a car driver or if you require those car parks, but you know, we're looking at climate change as well, something that your council is, you know, trying to make a big effort to incorporate into the central planning. 10 years is a long time to do what seems like quite a small amount of movement on this. Why is it going to take that long to achieve?
Oh, look, I think there'll be a whole combination of things, not least of which will be hopefully council agreeing to pass my climate action targeted rate. So if you've got strong views on that, the submission period is closed, but please encourage your local ward councillors to vote in favour of it. We just saw the latest Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report that came out yesterday, and there is no doubt. Yeah, we see it every day. We see it in the severe weather events. We see it in, you know, again, drought again this year after the last 2 years, the highest ever temperatures on record last year and quite possibly this year. We've got to act, and we'll be working in conjunction with the emissions reduction program that the government will announce and hopefully measures in the budget that will focus on climate change. Look, it's very rare now to find a person that is a climate change denier. Unfortunately, there are a whole lot more people that say, we don't want to pay anything towards dealing with climate change. Well, I'm sorry, you've got to walk the talk. And that's my message to Auckland and to my councillors.
Well, the third thing to talk about today is something that Chloe Swarbrick, as a Central Auckland MP, has been championing. And this is getting a bit more conversation around consents and the process for consents and notifying locals when helipads are getting put into the Hauraki Gulf. Now, we know people on Barrier Island are particularly passionate about this, also on Waiheke Island, and it's something that has not, you know, been a new issue, but we've seen quite a ramping up of the amount of helipads being plopped into the Gulf recently. What is the council's position on this? Are you happy about the way that consents run for this currently?
Well, let me first make a personal comment on it. My personal comment is, and the other board you should have mentioned there was the Waitemata local board. If you want to have a helicopter land on your backyard simply because it's more convenient than taking 7 minutes to drive to where helicopters land, and that's going to make a noise and upset the peaceful enjoyment of life of your neighbours, I'm sorry, tough luck. You might be wealthy enough to have a helicopter. That doesn't give you rights to damage the enjoyment of life visually and noise-wise of your neighbours. So that's my personal view, and that applies on the Gulf, where those, you know, the frequency of helicopters is increasing. I mean, I have a helicopter going over my place. I live in a rural area because one of my neighbours has got a helicopter. Well, it's twice a day. It doesn't worry me too much, and it's at 500 feet. I hear it, but it doesn't drive me mad. But if it's landing right next door to you, or if you're out doing a bushwalk on Aotea Great Barrier, and you've got a constant flow of helicopters going over, that's going to be damn annoying. Now, so, where is the council on it? We were due to consider it last Thursday, but at 9 o'clock, after having met since 10 in the morning, so that's 11 hours of meeting, we didn't get to that item, so it's been deferred.
We are seeing council planners. They're saying that being able to block additional consents is not possible. Why is that not possible? That seems like something that should be feasible here.
Whenever we take an action, whether it's as a non-complying activity or a restricted discretionary activity, those are the two technical areas for Auckland and the latter for the Gulf, we've got to be able to defend that legally before independent hearing commissioners and potentially the Environment Court. So we have to work within the law. So there was a call for a moratorium, which isn't provided for by the Resource Management Act. There was a call for prohibited activity, no circumstances in which a helicopter can be appropriate. Our legal advisers, quite rightly, are saying, well, you could do that, but the chances that you'd be struck down are very, very high indeed. So what we're doing, in order to look at a plan change or what is being recommended for the committee, is that we collect the information, working with the Civil Aviation Authority and our own local boards, collect all the information we need to make a case that is sustainable and will be within the law, and that's what you'd expect us to do.
Well, we might come back to this topic then when we see a little bit more about that conversation, but thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. Always great to have you on the show. Have a fantastic rest of your Tuesday, and we'll talk to you next week.
It's a pleasure. Ka kite anō.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.